Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we are now studying in the book of Hebrews. And today we are on lesson 5 of the book of Hebrews. And this will be a study from the first chapter of Hebrews. And our topic in today's study is, what about angels? Let us begin our study with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you so much, Father, that we can come before you and give you praise and honor and glory. And we can come before you and ask of you, and you will lead and guide and direct us. Father, we're coming today seeking you with all of our heart, that you will teach us your word, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may know you more, Father, and that we may glorify you. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. To begin our study today, as we usually always begin with a review, we're looking at the book of Hebrews, and we're asking questions about this book. What is it about? What is the overall contents or the overall context of Hebrews? And we have learned in our previous study that it's a letter of exhortation, and it was written to Jewish believers who had endured suffering to a degree. And the letter was an exhortation to them to help them endure and to hold fast with confidence to the end. Now, the letter's main character, we have learned, is Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the world. He is our high priest. And the letter is written to encourage and to help draw near one another, that the ministry will go out to all those that they come in contact with. And in this letter, they were also warned about those who don't listen and are not obedient. In other words, those who fall away face God's judgment. Now, we'll begin in chapter 1. And in our lesson today, we're not going through the entire chapter because our lesson highlights today the angels. But let's look at what these first chapters, looking back at the segments of Hebrews, is divided into 3 segments. And the first segment is Hebrews chapter 1 through 2. And in those chapters, we have learned that God spoke in His Son. And also, He spoke and He said to pay attention and don't drift away. In other words, don't neglect the salvation that you have received. And the next segment is Hebrews chapter 3 through chapter 10. And in these chapters, we learned that we're to consider Jesus, that He is an apostle and a high priest, and we're to hear His voice and not harden our hearts. And also, we were taught in those chapters to hold fast and to draw near, press on to maturity. And the third segment is chapters 11 through 13. Now, in those chapters, we'll be studying about Jesus as the author and perfecter of faith. And we're not to refuse him who is speaking. And we know that is Jesus himself. And we're to show gratitude by offering service to God. Now let's look at these first four chapters in chapter 1 of Hebrews. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he, Jesus, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty, God, on high, having become so much better than the angels, to the extent that he inherited a more excellent name than they. So this is the beginning in that last verse, chapter 1, verse 4, about the angels. And we are learning all through this chapter that Jesus is better than the angels. And here it's saying in that fourth verse, having so much better than the angels, to the extent that he inherited a more excellent name than they. So the Son then is much better than the angels. And when you look at verse 7 and verse, I want to first look at verse 7. And it says, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. So here we learn about angels that they are ministering, they are winds. And the word winds, when you look that up in the Greek, you find that it's talking about spirits. So we learn here that the angels are spirits. So then also you can look at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, and you learn that the scripture says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to provide service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And now remember, our topic in this study is about angels. So in order to understand who angels are and how that Jesus is so much better than the angels, today's study is going to put us in many parts of the scripture. We'll go back to the Old Testament, and then we'll come through and go into the New Testament, because it was already written in the Old and the New about angels, and that's where we'll learn and get our study today. And in this 14th chapter of the 14th verse of the first chapter, we see that they are ministering spirits. And God uses them to provide service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. So they'll be ministering then to each of God's chosen that will receive salvation. Now, the first scripture that we look at is in the book of Genesis, and it's in the 3rd chapter and the 24th verse. I will take each of these verses from the scripture where we find the knowledge and the wisdom about these angels that God has created. So looking at Genesis 3:24, "So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." So here is where we see the beginning of the where God used the angels. And these angels that he placed east in the Garden of Eden were cherubims. They were angels. The cherubim were special angels that God chose, and he chose them to protect the flaming sword, which turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So they are there guarding the tree of life. And we know that that tree of life is salvation. And so he uses these cherubim to guard that. Now let's go on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." So here we see that all things were created, heaven and earth, by him, and that's referring to Jesus. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers, all things have been created through him and for him. And we learn that in John, the book of John, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created that was created except by him, by the Word, by Jesus. So that's what we learned then in this text in Colossians. Now let's go to Job. Job 38, verse 6 through 7. Here we see in verse 6, let me see where I am here. Let's look some more at scriptures. Let's see. Okay. In Job, that's where we are. Excuse me. And looking at Job, then we're seeing that in the book of Job, verse 6 and 7, the scripture says, "On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So here we see that this is where that in the beginning that everything that was laid on its cornerstone by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God himself. And then the morning stars sang together. So here we see that it's referring to the morning stars as the angels. So let's look now at what we see and what we have learned so far about these angels. Looking at a description of them, we learn that in Hebrews 1, the things that we learn about angels is looking at verse 6. It says in Hebrews 1, "And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.'" So here we see that the angels are to worship the Son. They are not his equals, so they are to worship him. And then we learn in verse 7 of chapter 1 of Hebrews that the angels, the scripture says, "And of the angels he says, 'Who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire.'" And so here we learned that the angels were spirits and they were ministers and they were a flame of fire. And we learned then in verse 14 of chapter 1 that they were ministering spirits. They were sent out to serve for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Now, when you look up the word, we'll get back to the scripture in the other scripture in just a moment. Looking up the word angel in the Hebrew, the Old Testament, the word in Hebrew is malak, M-A-L-A-K, meaning messenger. For it is from an unused root, meaning to dispatch someone as a deputy. And that is what the Hebrew word means. And this definition perfectly describes the descriptions of the angels in Hebrews 1. Now, when you look at the Greek, that is agelos, and it's A-G-G-E-L-O-S, meaning messenger, one sent to announce or proclaim. So here we see that it's the same message throughout the Bible. Now, we're looking at Job now, going back to the Old Testament, and we're going to learn some more as we go through about how that the Word of God gives us the knowledge and understanding about angels. In Job 38, verse 6 through 7, we just read that these angels were created before, that it seems that according to this, before he laid the foundation or the cornerstone, that he created the angels even before he created the earth. Now let's go on and let's look at Luke. And looking at Luke 20, verse 36, "For they cannot even die anymore, for they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." So here we learn in Luke that the angels cannot die, because he is speaking here of the people that die in Christ. He compares them with the angels, "For they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." They cannot die, these angels that have been created by God. So we're going forward now, and we're going to look at the next scripture where we'll learn more about these angels. Looking at Psalms 103, verse 19 through 21. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you who serve him, doing his will. So here we see in these verses that they are mighty, that they are powerful, and they are invisible spirit beings. And that's what the scripture tells us. And they are to serve the Lord, doing his will. So they're also called stars, and they're called the sons of God. So this passage gives us that interpretation. And there are two divisions of angels. They are good angels, and they are those who fell with Satan and serve him that are demons. So we're going to start looking at the good angels, and as we look at them, we're seeing in the very beginning there in Psalms 103 that we just read that those are good angels. So you might make a note that starting with Psalms 103:19-21 is the exclamation, all of these next verses are of the good angels. Now, looking at Mark, Mark 12:25, we're seeing again how that they too, it gives a description of the angels. Let me read that verse. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So here we're learning that angels neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so they are the good angels. They neither marry or given in marriage. And we won't go into the details, but in the writing of Mark, in the beginning of that verse, it says, for when they rise from the dead, referring for those that have died in Christ Jesus. The scripture tells us here plainly that after we are resurrected, we will not be given in marriage, just like the angels in heaven. Now, let's look at Psalms. We've just done Psalms, and we're looking at Hebrews. I think I have repeated some of the scriptures here, but I want us to go from that, looking at next in our scripture. We're looking at Matthew 18, verse 10. Okay, the verse says, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my God who is in heaven. So here we see that angels minister to little children. And now we'll go to Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to serve him. Now, in this scripture, we know this is about Jesus as he was in the wilderness and being tempted by Satan. And here we see that after the devil after Satan left him, that the angels came and began to serve him. Okay, let's go now to the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 16. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. So here we see the description of the angels as being held by the Lord Jesus, and they are described here as seven stars. And you know, we talked earlier about the fact that angels are described as the stars. So the churches we know have angels or messengers, and of course Jesus is in the midst of that. Look at verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So let's back up what I just said, that the seven, here in the 20th verse of that first chapter of Revelation, it tells us the mystery of the seven stars. And those seven stars represent the angels of the seven churches. So here we learn about the churches that have these angels, these seven stars. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, angels are not to be worshipped by believers, as they are fellow servants. They are fellow servants, so we're not to worship them. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 6. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angels to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. So here we see in this study in the book of Revelation that the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angels to show his bondservants. Now, who are the bondservants? Of the things which soon must take place. When you read in the New Testament, you find so many times that the disciples call themselves bondservants. And here we see in this 22nd verse that God is using his angels to send word to his bondservants here that everything that is to take place, everything is to come about. And we know that John, one of the disciples, is the one that wrote the book of Revelation, and he also was a bondservant of the Lord Jesus. Now, looking at Revelation, still in chapter 22, verse 8 and 9, and it's going to say, because this is John, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. worship God. So here, John is saying, being one of the worshipers of God, he said, he is the one that heard these things, and he saw them. And he's also saying that I heard and saw them, and I fell down to worship at the angel's feet. And so the angel spoke to John, and he said, don't worship me. Don't do that, because I am a fellow servant of yours. So this is where we see again that it shows us that the angels are fellow servants of the Lord. And he is saying that I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. And that includes us. The angels are also our servants. God has used them. Now, keep in mind that this is all of the good angels that we're looking at. So let's go forward and look a little bit more at the next scriptures that we're looking at is Revelation 22, verse 16. And looking at this verse, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So here, the scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus sent his angel to testify of these things. He said, my angel, I have sent my angel to testify these things. Now, whenever you look at that, there is a lot of scripture that describes the angel of the Lord. But time won't allow us to spend the time that we need to. But I want to just point out some of the things that tell us that that Jesus himself has. He says, my angel. He ministered to Hagar in the wilderness. And she called him Lord, this angel that ministered to him, and the Lord who sees. And that was the angel of God there. That was my angel. And he also called the Lord when he prevented. He was also called the Lord. The angel was called the Lord when he prevented Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. And here in the scripture, you see that the word the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And then we also see in Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15, the angel of the Lord called upon Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And here it says, the angel of the Lord. So throughout scripture, going to Luke, verse 11, the scripture says, an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, also appeared with a message to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And so when the angel of the Lord appeared to men, they were understandably fearful and awesome. And then you find in Matthew 4, chapter 11, the angels ministered to Jesus after his temptation. And we read that previously. Now, let's go forward and let's see these angels that are bad angels. They're evil angels. They're demons. And we find in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things, of that the church. Now, I just read that. Excuse me. Let's go on forward and look to some of the things about these evil angels looking at Psalms 78 through 49. We see here, he sent his burning anger upon them, fury and indignation and trouble, a band of destroying angels. So in Psalms, it tells us that God sent his fury upon these angels that were bad, and that they were, he said that he would destroy these angels. Now, let's look at Matthew 13, chapter 13, verses 41 and 42. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the angels will come with Jesus when he returns to the earth in his second coming, and they will gather all stumbling blocks and lawless ones to throw them into the furnace of fire. Now let's look at Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4. This is where we see the beginning of the evil angels. I got ahead of myself a little bit there in the scriptures, so just mark this, that this is the evil angels. Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his head were seven crowns. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and hurled them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. So at some point, then we see that the devil took a third of the angels of heaven with him. Now let's look further in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 through 9. It says, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And we know in our study that we did in Revelation that the dragon represents Satan. And the dragon and the angels waged war, and they did not prevail. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So here in these verses in the book of Revelation, we learn that there was war in heaven between the good angels that were led by Michael, the good angel, and the demonic ones that were led by Satan. And the result then is going to be that the devil and his angels are not strong enough to win the battle, and they'll be thrown down. the devil and the angels together. Now let's look in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 41st verse. And this tells us, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed people, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. That's referring to these angels that we just read about in the book of Revelation. And so the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, now let's look at 2 Peter, the second chapter, the fourth verse. And it tells us, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness, hell for judgment. So here in 2 Peter, it is referring again to the fact that God did not spare these angels because they had sinned. These were the ones that followed Satan, that were cast out of heaven. And you can go back and study in the book of Isaiah where this took place, that they were cast out because Satan, of course, wanted to be God. He was a beautiful angel, and he was over the angels, so to speak. He was, God had made him and give him, I guess, I don't have the scripture for that, but he wasn't satisfied. He had so much pride because of his beauty that God had given him that he wanted to be God. And of course, God cast him and all these angels that were filled with pride like he was followed him. And this is where that God had to prepare a place for them when judgment come. And we know that in Revelation we study that there will be a day and that these angels, along with Satan, will be cast into the dark pit, into hell, forever for their judgment. Let's look now at Jude. Jude is one book, so it's the sixth verse. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, these he has kept in eternal restraints under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And it refers again to these angels that were disobedient and sinned against God. So they are some, this scripture tells us, there are some of these angels that are already bound and being held, but some are not. That's why we find the demons in this world, and Satan is using these evil demonic angels to help him carry out his work. Now, let's go on further in the book of Galatians and read some more. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. So in this scripture it says that an angel might preach a gospel contrary to the truth. This would be a demonic angel, one that is used by Satan. And, you know, he works in all forms. These demons that Satan has are put in people. And so there may be some that are preaching not the true word of God. And they may be from this demonic angel that may be placed in them by Satan. Now, here we are looking again in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter 13 through 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So this is what I'm saying in what the scripture tells us, that there are false prophets, there are deceitful workers throughout this world today disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And the reason for this is the scripture says in verse 14 that even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's not surprising that he uses his servants, these demonic angels, to disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And we know that in the end that they will be given their judgment according to their deeds. Now we're going to finish this study with the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? That is speaking of all believers. If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to form the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? So we know in reading and studying in the book of Revelation that when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom here on this earth, that we will be with him and we will reign with him for 1,000 years. And the scripture here tells us that we, the saints, will judge the world. Now, if the world is judged, then should we not be competent to form the smallest law courts? So, do you know, that's what the scripture says, that we will judge angels? So the judging of the angels will be these bad angels, these demonic angels that have to face judgment. And this is what the scripture tells us, and we know the scripture is truth. And I pray that this study has enlightened each of us, that we may know more about the Word of God, that we may know, as we're studying through this book of Hebrews, and many times we will see that Jesus is better than the angels. By learning what the angels are and what they are put here for, helps us to see how that Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, is better than the angels. So be in prayer as we continue through our study. We will continue on next week in our study, and we will be in chapter 2. And as you know, there's so much in these chapters that sometimes we have more than one lesson on a chapter. But that is good because we get more knowledge and we get to understand more about God and our precious Savior Jesus. So let us close in prayer. Father, I do praise you for your Son, Jesus. And I thank you and praise you that he is so far better than the angels. And we know that He is our Savior. The angels, there's no way that they could bring salvation, no way they could save us. But Father, your only begotten precious Son, Jesus, he took our place at the cross. He died for our sins. His blood covered our sins. He was our sacrifice. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our high priest. And we praise you and thank you. Thank you for the precious word that you penned down through these great men that you used. And I pray that you will use each of us from what we learn in our study from your word, Father, to be a light on a hill in a dark world. Because we know that Jesus is going to come back soon for the church, for his bride. And help us, Father, to be looking and be ready because our redemption draweth nigh. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.